You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, DeSimone's on about 3 hours of sleep after going to see John Anderson up at Celebrity Theater last night, so it's a little dicey. If you just missed the last half hour, I was running through the good reporting by the New Republic on a corruption scandal involving Catholic Community Services, Casas Elitas, and Pima County. And especially the part of being overcharged 300%, and of course, the idea that the Catholic Community Services dorks said that there was no personal relationship between terminated employees and vendors, and it turned out the people that were overcharging us, making $500,000 on laundry services, is some sort of ranch out in Amato. And it was owned by the guy who was the executive director of Casas Elitas' mother.
Well, you know,
for a company that was created after they started submitting invoices.
Laundry is a very specialized thing. There's no other laundry suppliers in Tucson.
You are correct. Let's go to the phones. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert, who still does his own laundry. David, good morning.
It's more true than you know.
Oh, I know.
You have a 2-year-old at home. I was doing some first thing this morning. But all right, back to our theory. It's almost always about the money.
You are correct again.
And, you know, but did you ever think you'd be on the air complimenting the New Republic?
Yeah, I mean, that's the part that's so crazy. I mean, I told the listeners when this story hit this morning, I said, now, if you want to look at the homepage of the New Republic, you can, but basically there's 23 stories about how Donald Trump is actually some version of Satan. So just be prepared.
Oh, no, it's like some of the crazy things that there's a couple of the hard progressive, but I feel unclean saying this, but it's sometimes they're the last ones doing some of the investigative journalism. Now, most of the investigative journalism is to beat the crap out of conservatives. But, you know, some of the things in Washington, you realize you can't get anyone else to do the story because it requires work.
All right, so I think we're going to do a little teaching here. So when you say, man, why is there this portion of America that just doesn't get it, right? You say that as Republican. What the hell, right? Well, if you're reading the New Republic, let me give you some headlines so you know what your lefty friends are reading, okay? We have striking new polls reveal how Kamala's surge is putting Trump on the defensive. Why Donald Trump can't stop talking about inflation. Worried about democracy? Start protecting protesters. Let's see. Trump's new campaign strategy just went up in flames. J.D. Vance's weird thoughts on older women.
But remember, a few years ago, there was a story that was being floated around about, I may have it wrong, CNN, I think. And they were talking about how they were almost using an algorithm on how many times an hour they needed to mention Donald Trump's name to push up viewer retention.
Yeah, absolutely. So the story, there's an attack story on you in the New Republic. Check this out.
Really?
U.S. Congressman David Schweikert, self-proclaimed avid coffee drinker, actually drinks instant coffee. So
the heresy. That would be heresy. No.
They call him old Nescafe Dave.
Categorically deny.
I categorically deny.
David drank it. He did not. He did not imbibe it, though. That's what happened.
All right, stop it.
We don't laugh, we cry. So I apologize.
But what I learned from that story, and this is, you know, during Donald Trump's first term, is in some ways it was the con. We get more people to watch if we enrage them over Donald Trump. So we say Donald Trump's name lots and lots. It pushes up our viewer retention. We get more advertising money. We get to pay ourselves more.
Could we make the same argument for people? Could we make the same argument for conservative news blogs that they have to put Trump's name so many times on there, too?
Yeah, look, moment of honesty. When you watch a cable news show, what's the cable news show's number one reason for existence? It's not to inform you. It's not to educate. It's to make a profit for the company. They are profit-making entities. So what happens when you lose audiences if you explain complex stories? You lose audiences if you actually tell the truth.
That explains our crappy ratings.
Well, but there is something to that. Now, what will also happen is if you treat your listeners and your viewers like adults, you end up with a very, very loyal audience.
Oh, yeah.
You may not end up with the audience that's getting in, you know, listening for their dopamine hit that day of, enrage me so I can be angry all day.
Well, we've definitely built a loyal audience here.
But there is something to that. I would argue, in some ways, it was one of the great secrets of Rush Limbaugh. Now, he found ways to do it with humor, but he would often slowly walk people through away from, you know, fake stories and fraud, and try to walk them to how the real world works. And even he, most of the time, would come back and say, and it's about the money.
Yeah. No, agreed. What do you got for me? And before we go to break, give me some joint economic committee work. What do we got? What's some highlights from the since I saw you last week?
We're diving into a number of crazy things and trying to understand what their economic impact would be for the United States over 10 years. I'll give you one that's because I'm fascinated by it. In about a year or so, we're going to have a fentanyl vaccine that may have to be taken once to twice a year. And this is one that adds a protein attaches to the drug so it can't break the brain-blood barrier. If you're going to have, let's call it 80,000 deaths in America this year associated with fentanyl, what would happen if you could cut that in half? What would be the economic impact? Because remember, we're having our fifth year in a row where prime age young males are dying younger. So prime age males are dying younger. If you could cut that in half, what's the economic impact? And we think over 10 years, it's hundreds of billions of dollars in savings.
You know,
we're working out the numbers. And it's hard to do these things. But the reason you do that is you're trying to create a policy set of, if we would do this here, if we would do this here, if we do this here, these are policy. And it turns out they become incredible economic growth and taxpayer savings.
Well, we had that discussion over and over again about the diabetes thing, right? And so you add that to what you're saying, and it starts getting to be real dollars.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Teva yesterday, which is the big generic drug maker, because they have one of the first diabetes drugs. It's a type of glutide, and it is now available as a generic for, you know, a fraction of the cost of the big fancy ones.
So I got a quick question for you before we go to break, and then I'm going to give you a preview of a question. And the preview question is, and don't answer it now when we come back, is you told us last year about the missing 2 million young men in the data. I want to get an update on update on that. But my question is, you know, sometimes Republicans, you know, we talk about things that we think are important, but maybe those persuadables, they don't get it or it's not important to them. But I want to know, with the persuadables in polling data, what does, because we keep talking about inflation, we know it's real. Does the inflation argument get through the thick skulls of the persuadables?
Oh, this is going to be a fun conversation because we have some new data on that one.
I love it. All right, let's take a quick call because it's related to your fentanyl thing.
So Lori just hung up, but she had a question about the fentanyl shot. How would the shot be administered? Would it be voluntary or would it be forced upon people?
Well, that's the policy we're going to have to make, because I don't think you can force people to do something like that. But also, if you have someone who's made it to rehab and they're going to make a life decision, now, remember, this isn't permanent. There was an experiment with one that was supposed to be permanent that didn't pan out. Could you make a personal decision saying, look, I will take this shot as part of my rehab? The original design of this was for first responders. You know, how many times have you heard stories of, you know, highway patrol or border patrol, those being exposed? And then you start to work through the concept of what would happen if this would help people on one of the most difficult substances ever brought to man to recover from and not go back to. Does it become part of a tool of becoming sober again?
And absolutely. And that was the point of the question of the person asking the question is they do like the high. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it has to be a decision made that they want to quit, right?
I think actually in some ways you have to still respect free will. Now, free will also comes with consequences. Right. So you choose not to do that. Maybe you still have a longer probation. But those are the really difficult things. Right now I'm trying to work through the science and the access. And then we're going to have to come up with social policy that, because you don't want big government walking in and saying, we're going to inject you with something. That's unacceptable in a society where you have the right to do stupid things, but you also have the obligation to accept the penalties.
All right, hold that thought. I want to go to break, and I want to ask you the question about inflation and polling and then the missing 2 million. Was that the number you gave us last year?
I think yeah. It
was 2 million young men in the polling data. So we're going to do that with U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Tom Carlson, Marana School Board member, is here in the green room. He'll be on after David. And then Mark will be here talking about doing the movies, top 10 actresses. He's going on vacay, so we can't do it in the next couple of Fridays. Wake up. 7:22 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson, hanging out with, we just found out from the New Republic, a instant coffee drinker, David Schweikert. Big scandal. Big scandal. International coffees. He likes that commercial with that guy, Jean-Luc, the waiter. So... David, welcome back, sir.
You're in some ways, you're actually quite cruel. Because you know there's someone that just tuned in that heard that and now goes, well.
He's a rhino and a Sanka drinker? God dang it.
Oh. So according to the media down here, I'm far too conservative. So you've worked through that one.
Again, I we see it with Ciscomani down here.
Non sequitur, and we need to get to you. So last night I'm doing a presentation. I had someone go up, raise their hand, and say, "Yo, but a year ago you voted to raise the debt ceiling." And you have to stop the room and say, okay, so did Jim Jordan, so did Tom Massey, so did Marjorie Taylor Greene, because it was the single biggest cut in spending in modern history.
Right.
It's over $1 trillion a cut in discretionary. But you voted for the debt ceiling, and some of my other people didn't vote for it. Okay, did you just hear me? Jim Jordan voted for it. Marjorie Taylor Greene voted for it. Scott Perry voted for it. Because those who were willing to actually take on that weren't so lazy that they would take on the blogs and the others and say, did you want to blow up the credit rating of the United States, which then that will cost you trillions? You know, people forget when you have to borrow $10 trillion a year, you know, in refinancing and new issuances, slight movements in interest rates are hundreds of billions of dollars. And you're looking at this room and you see these blank stares, like, well, but that would require math and thinking. You know, we're better than this.
So, well, also the fact is these blogs and the MAGA purity folks don't understand that we don't have the Senate. We don't have the presidency. We have a one-vote spread in the freaking House, and they want you to literally change government and just turn it around right now.
But I'm going to take you a different direction on this one. Yes, you have the political barriers, but at some point, you got to understand the bond market is substantially in charge of this country. If you're borrowing $80,000 a second,
right?
Okay. And most of that spending, most of that borrowing is to finance health care costs and interest, health care, Medicare. Yeah. And you get these, people that I know they may mean well, but they've lived on a diet of politicians lying to them. If we got rid of foreign aid, we'd be fine. And then you show the chart, hey, look, every dime of foreign aid is like a week of borrowing. Well, that can't be. I was told it balances the budget. I know things with lots of zeros are hard, but stop being conned. And it's my intense frustration is some of the people you think are conservatives, they're theatrical players.
Hey, We got 3 minutes, so I'm going to ask of the two questions. Answer me, where are the 2 million young men who are missing from your economic data?
It's from the BLS data, and it continues. The best analysts and a couple Harvard professors have written about it, so bless them, is they've just sort of dropped out. They're either with legal. We saw some of this also with the legalization of marijuana. There's one crazy article. She dives into the details about how many are just basically video game addicts working. Some she believes are also working in the underground economy. Have become so obese they can't participate in society. So we actually see some of the disability claims within shockingly young populations.
Oh my Lord!
So we basically spent some time several months ago just sort of building a spreadsheet of all the different categories that may have been consuming prime age males. And we could not get to 2 million, but we got close.
Legalization of marijuana, what's the effect on this?
I don't remember that one.
It just feels feels right as part of the problem.
But often we make this mistake of saying it's that. It's sometimes a combination.
It's a contributing factor. And they're still, and I assume they're going to college less than they even did the last time we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. We still have the crisis of males graduating university. So you have males and females entering universities at similar numbers, females doing a dramatically better job graduating, and males dropping out at really, really uncomfortable numbers. And there's societal problems with that. You end up with a marriage gap. I mean, how many well-educated females want to marry someone that didn't graduate? And so we're actually seeing some of that. And it's
not like those guys are going into vocational training and becoming plumbers.
Well, but we also need to work on the fact my plumber makes more money than my vet.
Sure.
And I know that because they're married to each other.
Let's get real quick. Inflation. How does inflation play with polling and persuadables? Okay. You got about a minute.
Persuadables, number one thing we find is they want us to pay attention to their hardship, their economics. They're not social policy warriors. They're just trying to survive. Inflation is still their number one issue. Number two is economics. Number three is the border. If you are helping someone run for office and they're not fixated on the fact they're poor today because of inflation, they're worried about their future with economic policy, and they're worried about the fentanyl and security of their neighborhoods with border policy, stay with the issues they care about.
What do they think about instant coffee, the persuadables?
You're a bad man.
All right, my friend. Thanks for the knowledge and the discussion, as always. Have an amazing weekend.
All right. Goodbye now.
It's our good friend David Schweikert. Tom Carlson's coming up next, Marana School Board member. He's got some good news in the improvement world, especially on DeSimone's favorite thing, which is that damn literacy reading thing. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, it's an all Elvis Thursday on Wake Up Tucson. Good morning and welcome back to Marana School Board member Tom Carlson. What's up, Thomas?
Good morning, Chris. It's great to be here.
Did you drive the motorcycle today?
I got rid of the motorcycle.
What the? What happened? You were like the coolest driving. Everyone's, you know, all the TUSD people are, other than Val, are in their Prius and crap.
Yeah, me and the Indian. We just had our we had our fun, and
all right. Look at
got
you.
Got a new owner.
Look at you maturing.
Right.
As you know, I keep giving the Marana School Board lots of credit for the reading literacy decision.
Yes,
from a couple of years ago, where you said, I keep telling you, this is one of the biggest, largest public decisions by any elected body in Pima County, is the school district admitted that they were wrong in the way they were teaching reading.
Absolutely.
And I thought, oh my God, that is amazingly refreshing.
some pretty good self-reflection.
And you brought in your literacy director.
Jill Cordova.
Jill, and then your assistant superintendent.
Kristen Reedy.
And we had that really good conversation on the air on where things were heading.
Yep.
So what have we learned on how Marana School's doing on reading? Because you know this is my, I just keep, yeah, I used to be roads, you know. And
I know.
that Maslow's hierarchy of need, but now we're not coming back with an overly illiterate society.
Right.
So give us a little update.
Okay. So we implemented this reading program based on the science of reading, which is the evidence-based, science of reading, people tend to think of it as a curriculum or as a program or something, but it's not. It's just kind of like a body of work, a body of knowledge that's based on evidence. So we have a program that is based on evidence. And so we implemented it in the 2022-2023 school year. And at that time, so in 23, we had 4% of our third grade students reading at or above grade level.
You say four?
I said four.
Wow.
Four.
That's why it was big for you guys to change course.
Yes. So were we.
Yep.
Now we have,
yes, sir.
Get the bell ready.
Yes.
30% reading at or above grade level.
Wow. That is beautiful.
It is. 1 year.
That is amazing. Yep. I'm so happy.
Yep.
I mean, lots more work to do.
Obviously.
Right.
Because 30%, it should be, 90 plus.
Like I said, in the class, last time I even checked one of my when I was on the board of Lehman, we were in the mid to high 80s.
Okay.
If you're in the 80s, yeah, you're winning the battle. Right?
Yeah.
But that you guys went from 3%?
4%.
4% to 30% in 1 year reading at level of third grade?
Yes.
Whatever that gross amount of number of humans that is. I don't know how many kids that is. I don't know if that's let's say it's 1,000 kids. I don't know what the number is. You've just improved the lives of those 1,000 kids.
Absolutely.
Because if you can't read a third grade, you're in trouble.
Right. And that's going to compound.
Yeah.
As those kids work through their next, 8 years in Marana schools, that's the district's going to shine. They're going to shine. I don't care about, yes. I mean, we all care about how the district looks, right? But I care about those kids.
you'll earn it. You'll just earn it.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, I'm, overjoyed. Hats off to Jill and the team and all the literacy coaches. We hired a bunch of literacy coaches and the teachers and staff who are, they're the ones on the ground doing this stuff day to day. And, we got fantastic.
Well, and if you're staff, the teacher that's teaching fourth, fifth, sixth grade, and you have more kids that can read at level,
yeah,
then you can start going, you can actually teach more instead of remedial reading stuff that you're wasting time on.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Trying to get this poor kid up to level.
Right. All the reteaching, the rework that you have to do on these kids is declining.
Yeah.
So that's, fantastic.
Congratulations. Again, which I keep saying it and people don't realize it. You guys as a board, as an elected body, admitted that the school district was doing something incorrectly.
Yeah.
Right? Because most 99% of all other elected bodies would never admit they were wrong because it's a sign of weakness.
Right.
Especially if you want to get reelected, you're scared of anything that can shove in your face.
Well, it's failure, right?
Right. And you guys, again, you guys are right now, you're the model of school boards. You still got work to do.
Yeah, we do.
But that decision makes you a model for other elected bodies out there.
Thank you. Yeah. And our superintendent, when he came in, in July of 2020. So, what a horrible time to bring a new superintendent on board. Right. But he's just been marching forward, and some of us on the board recognized that we were kind of the emperor wasn't wearing clothes, in terms of how the district was performing, and Dr. Streeter came in, and he saw that, and so when you have a superintendent who recognizes it, and you have some board members who recognize it, okay, so now you can work together. Whereas previously, you had some board members who recognized it, but the superintendent didn't.
Did any of the board fight the change?
No.
Yeah, that's good.
You really can't. You know when.
Well, don't.
When the numbers
don't,
are don't, well, don't, okay, don't. Okay. I should say when you.
We're at $35 trillion of debt right now.
Right.
Sure, we can add to that. The numbers aren't lying either.
The numbers aren't lying. No, I know. But
it's cute that you said that.
But so. But for most normal people.
Yeah, thank you. Hold on, you get a ding for that, Carlson. There you go.
That's two today. So let's go for more. So we just got our scores from the state.
Okay.
So we have 17 schools. So we have, okay, so from 2019, so that's going to be our baseline because that's the last year before everything went crazy, you know, and 2022 was our first year back, but the scores were artificially high that year because of the way the state kind of calculated them. So from 2019
I'm sure there's a lot of social grading awards by teachers also as we move through.
No comment.
Thank you. Hold on, let me do this.
Okay, so from 2019 to 2024, we had 10 schools with a double-digit score increase.
Wow.
10 of our 17 double-digit scores. Which is huge.
Now, how about scores and what? What's the actual metric?
Yeah, these are the state, the state scores. So
okay.
So you know the end of year assessments that the state does.
All right. So this is English learning arts and
CCRI. Math. Yeah, all that stuff.
Okay.
Right. Right. We had one school that had a decrease. Okay.
Which school was that?
That was.
If there's parents right now listening, I'd like them to know.
Gladden Farms.
Okay.
So in 2019, they were a solid A, they were a low A, then they went to a solid B.
Okay.
This year, so you know, not too concerning.
Okay.
We'll work to get that up. Niana's doing a great job out there. So 14, you know, I mean, well, 10 schools with double digit increases, and we had five. That had single digit.
Okay.
So
We're moving.
You know, I'd like to, in a couple of years, we'll be able to attribute a lot of that probably to the
reading. Oh,
yeah. To the increase in literacy.
The exponential reward of that.
Yep.
Is coming down the line.
That's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right? A good gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
So, hey, Matt, let's go to break. We'll do another segment with Tom Carlson, Marana School Board member. I know there's some elections coming up.
Indeed.
And I kind of want to say, you know, what are their updates on the board I want to get to, but also what are those things that you want to work on? And if some of these people get on the board, what else can we get done to make the place better?
Okay.
Because you're the school district in the middle of Southern Arizona's most important community.
Yeah.
With one of its best mayors.
Indeed.
I know he's listening, so. But yeah. It's true. So,
Mayor Ed.
You're on Wake Up Tucson. 7:48 in the morning. You're on Wake Up Tucson. We're hanging out with our good friend Tom Carlson, Marana School Board District, who just had the good news announcement that ever since the school board announced, figured out that they were teaching reading incorrectly. I love when you said the science of reading.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of people who are somewhere, like they would be a part of a school district that rhymes with USD, right? That would tell you 3 years ago to trust the science. But not when it came to reading.
Right. Trust the science when it's convenient for me.
Thank you. Hold on. I'll give myself a ding for that. Now, so he just said that when they made this decision, they had 4% of their third graders reading at level.
Yes.
Which is horrible.
Horrible.
Right? Remember, we were making fun of TUSD and Sunnyside as a school districts were 12 and 16%. Respectively, a couple of years ago.
Right.
So you just made the beautiful good news announcement that after your intervention and hiring literacy aides and all of this stuff, that now it's
30%
of third graders are reading at level.
Yes.
That's huge.
Very happy with that.
You know, I should have done this. So you've gotten two dings and a clap today.
It's a good day,
good
Chris.
Good job, Marana School Board. So teachers.
Yes.
So as you move into this new school year, there's an election coming up. But let's just talk about what do we need to keep either doubling down on, putting, like, literacy, I assume. What are the things that the Marana School Board needs to work on to get better for teachers and kids?
Okay. So we have two schools opening next year. We have a new school in Gladden Farms because the one that's there was over capacity almost from day one.
Yep.
So we're building a new one there. To the tune,
so that's going
to
be another elementary school?
K-8.
K-8, I got it. And what are we going to do with the old building?
Oh, it's still there.
Still saying, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an additional school.
Gotcha.
Additional, yeah. There's like 5,000 homes going into Gladden Farms.
Yep.
So it's insane up there. So, but thanks to Bidenomics, the previous school that cost the Dove Mountain School cost us $25 million to build. This one's costing us $35.
Sounds about right.
So, yeah. Sounds right. Thank you.
Building stuff right now is horrendous.
It's insane. And so we also years ago bought, there was an old medical building on Silverbell. And so the district bought that years ago. And now we got a grant from the state, $12 million, and we are renovating that and turning that into, we're calling it the I Choose Academy. So that's going to be kind of a...
Sounds beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to pull some high school kids, mostly hopefully from Marana High, because that's over capacity. So we're going to pull kids in there, and it's going to be a more individualized learning environment.
So this is basically the... I Choose to Get Back on Track Academy?
No. These are kids who are on track, but who want to explore different things.
Oh, so this is for kids that are a little bit more advanced?
Could be.
Okay.
Could be.
Or there's something that's... So don't get me wrong. I'm into practical something supporting their interest in learning.
Right. Right. So it's individualized. So they'll be able to go at their own pace. So if they're a little bit on the slow side, you know, they'll be able to slow down. If they're more advanced, they'll be able to speed up.
I always bring my favorite book, Dumbing Us Down, by John Taylor Gatto. You got to read this book.
Okay.
The Libertarian Madness. Oh, sorry. Hugsauer guy at Friends said, I got to get into this book. The guy's a New York Teacher of the Year, Public School Teacher of the Year. And his speech when he got his award is how messed up K-12 is.
Oh, wow.
Right? Okay. And his big thing was kids need to... He would get kids like either jobs or internships doing something. It could be a mechanic. It could be working construction, whatever. And he used that as, this is why we're doing here in school. Mm-hmm. We'll support you doing... It kind of supports each other. So I kind of like the idea of what you're saying with the I Choose program.
Okay. Yeah, so that's going to be exciting. On the ballot this year, I think it's going to be Prop 411. It's a 15% budget override. So,
uh-oh.
I know. We've had 10% in place for many, many years.
Are you supportive of this override?
I am.
Okay.
Because this extra 5% that we're asking from the voters will go toward teacher salaries.
Okay.
So that we can continue things like improving our literacy.
So right now we're not feeling competitive in the teacher market?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. I would like there to be a huge sucking sound across Pima County as new highly effective teachers
come
our way.
I've learned from the Lehman experiment that we would have teachers come to us who took a pay cut and got off the state retirement program
mm-hmm.
because they got to be teachers again, right? Control a classroom, not being meddled with by administration.
Yeah.
You know, so that's part of it also. The money's important, don't get me wrong.
It is, yeah. But I agree.
What is something that if maybe there's a change in the board that you think there's a better chance of happening to make lives better for students, kids, and parents?
Okay. So we have three seats up this year. Most school districts had three seats up this year. So we have one gentleman, David Willard, who's running. He's on the board right now. He was appointed when Dan Post passed away last year.
Okay.
So David is filling out the rest of that term. I support him. He's been a great addition to the board.
Okay.
So we have Mikhail Roberts, who's running.
Again, I remember Mikhail from 2 years ago.
Yeah,
sure.
Fantastic candidate. She's an attorney, a mom, very involved in the schools up there. So she'll be fantastic. And then we have Roy Alexander. He's Dan Post, one of Dan Post's son-in-laws. There are many. he's, you know, total Marana guy. His kids go to the schools. He's a product of the Marana schools. Obviously, his wife is. So he's a financial advisor, accountant,
okay,
kind of a guy. So,
well, that's nice though.
Bring a nice analytical, you know, perspective to the board.
All right. So Mikhail Roberts.
Mikhail Roberts.
What's the other two gentlemen?
Roy Alexander.
Roy Alexander.
And David Willard.
Gotcha. Okay. So what? So if you can get these folks on board, and you hit 2025, what are some things that maybe with a change of the mix of leadership you could get done that you'd like
to see done? I think there'll be a lot more focus on partnering with parents. You know, Dr. Streeter is big on involving parents as partners, but we can do a better job at that. Also, if we could get the board to focus on doing board things as opposed to getting bogged down in minutiae of parent complaints, that would be very helpful.
So parent complaints are driving agenda items, or
not
is
necessarily
it, or is
agenda
it...
items, but they're driving cycles with the administration.
Okay. So what is, so are some of these complaints, I'm not saying all complaints are important.
They're important, yes.
But what is an example of a complaint that's driving too much, what kind of complaint is driving too much board attention away from other important things? Let's just say that.
Cheerleading.
Wow.
Things like that okay, are, like you said, obviously very important to the people who are involved, but those kind of issues are best dealt with at the school level.
Well, that's why you hired a superintendent who hired an athletic director who hired a cheerleading coach.
And, right, exactly, exactly. So, you know, the principal is perfectly capable of handling these things, and they should be allowed to handle these things as opposed to getting the board or the administration involved.
What's enrollment right now for the total school district? Where
we are
at?
Just under 13,000, like
okay,
12,900.
And now we know there's all these houses being built and there's amazing amount of economic growth, not just in Marana, but also up the road in the Eloy Casa Grande, which is driving people to live in. You know, what's been the growth trend for, has it been meteoric? It's healthy. What would we call
no,
it?
No, you know, we've
or has competition flattened those numbers?
Competition,
up?
Right? You know, a few years ago we were at this level. Then we went down, and then the last 3 years or so has been a steady rise. You know, back to where we are. You know, back to where we were. You know, probably 3-4 years ago.
Because I think the competition did its thing, and there hasn't been new competition.
No,
right?
No, but I tell you, you know. That's a big concern of mine, is that with all the land out there, you know, if a charter just plopped itself in, you know, that would hurt.
It's hard to get charters out of the ground right now.
Okay.
The state charter board is not as friendly. That's sort of friendly to charters as they used to be.
Okay.
And part of it is, I think there's people on the charter board that, you're gonna love this, don't love charters.
Okay.
Or they're school operators like from Phoenix who don't want competition.
Okay.
Even possibly in Tucson, because maybe in their dream they go, well, I might build my whatever charter school in Tucson one day. I see a lot of that stuff too.
Personally, so. I'm a believer in school choice. I mean, I'm a free market guy.
Yeah.
And you know, competition makes things better. Competition makes government better.
Well, you guys already proved it with the reading thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? I mean, if Lehman Academy's got, you know, let's say of their third graders, it's 50 to 60% and you were at 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
Make your game better.
Exactly.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
On the good work. It's beautiful. Now go back to work and make it better.
Right.
And then what's the three names of the candidates that people should pay attention to?
Okay. So in Marana, it's David Willard.
Yep.
Mikhail Roberts. Roy Alexander.
Awesome.
TUSD, let me go,
please,
you know, afield.
Please.
We got Esteban Flores.
Yep. I just found out about him yesterday.
Okay, super guy. And then in Catalina Foothills, we got Bart Pemberton and Jennifer Repture.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. Tom Carlson, Marana School Board member. We'll see you again very soon.
Thank you very much, Chris. Have a great day.
Mark Van Buren's coming up next. You're on Wake Up Tucson.